بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ولا نبوة بعد نبوته ولا شريعة بعد شريعته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم الله غفور رحيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected Hazrat Mufti Ghulam Sulaimani Sahib, Dama Barakatuhum, and the various ulama, and brothers and sisters in Islam, first of all, I would like to say that it is not befitting for me to stand here before such great personalities and such great ulama, that I am extremely junior to them, but because they have commanded me, and it will be disrespect to not to obey the command, that's why I'm standing before you at the moment. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, there is a Sahabi by the name of Hassan bin Thabit who has said one couplet in the praise of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says in ma imma dahtu Muhammadan bi maqalati lakin madahtu maqalati bi Muhammadi, that I have not praised the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by my words, I have not honored him by my words, but it's in fact that my words are being honored by the mentioning of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So today we have gathered here not for the purpose of praising Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says wa rafa'na laka dhikrak, that verily I have made your dhikr, your name, very lofty and very elevated in the world. But by us gathering here, we do not have the tongues, we do not have the words to praise Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it is in fact the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has allowed us for a few moments to discuss Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that honor is upon us. And this is in fact proven from the Quran that there are various bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to mankind. But there are two bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentions in the Quran. First is in Surah Al-Hujurat, that when a group of people came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were from the tribe of Asad bin Khuzaymah, and they came to boast to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we have accepted Islam. They did not have the reality of Iman within their hearts, but they came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to boast and say that we have accepted Islam, and we have done it without any fighting. We have done it without you coming to us and giving us a lecture, but we have come to you. So they were actually showing their favor upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the verses of the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that yamununa alayka an aslamu, that they are showing their favor upon you that they have accepted Islam. Qul, O Nabi of Allah, say to them, لا تمنوا علي إسلامكم, do not show your favor upon me regarding Islam. بل الله يمن عليكم, but it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has favored you to come to the fold of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored you to and showed you the right path. So first favor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are within the fold of Islam. This is not something that we have done. There's not a greatness from our part. But it is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted us. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us stay within the fold of Islam, those that are born in the fold of Islam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still kept you. And those that have reverted to Islam, it is only the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. And in a different part of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا, that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done a favor upon the believers by sending amongst them a prophet from within them. So this is a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us from the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So by us gathering here and praising Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is actually we are praising ourselves that we are being honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have the ability to praise Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, the narration which I quoted before you at the beginning, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, لا يؤمن أحدكم, none of you, And in the narration Bukhari, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِي, that upon that being that my soul is in his hand, he's taking an oath on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that لا يؤمن أحدكم, that none of you can become a true believer, a complete believer, until what? حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَالِدِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ, until I do not become more beloved to him than his own son and his parents. And in a different narration, وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ, and more beloved than the entire creation. So that's the standard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left for us. That to be a complete believer, and he's taking oath upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that to be a complete believer, that being a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to be more beloved to us than the entire creation, including our children and our parents. Now those of us that have children, especially those that are new parents, you would realize that how much love you have for your child. That when the child is born, if the child is crying at night, you stay awake the entire night. If the child is sick, you become sick. If the child has urinated on a bed, you will move the child into a better place and you will sleep inside that dirty place. Because why? The love that you have. So much love you have that you cannot bear to see that child in any type of pain, in any type of discomfort. Because that's the love you have. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that until I do not become more beloved in your sight than your own children, than your own parents, and the entire mankind, until then you cannot have perfection in iman. It is not possible to have the perfection of iman. But in a different verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that aminu kama aman an-nas. That belief bring faith, how? The people have brought faith. And the mufassirun and the ulama of the past, they all are unanimous, that over here, nas means the sahaba ikram. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse saying that the yardstick that we have, that how our faith should be, is the sahaba. That is the iman that we should have. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith is saying that you cannot have perfect iman until I do not become the most beloved in your sight. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they fulfilled this hadith. They fulfilled the saying of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing testimony that they have the perfect iman. Because why? That becomes a standard for us. That bring iman, how the sahaba brought iman. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that iman is only complete when I become more beloved. So that's why we have to study the life of the sahaba. That how did they treat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their sight? And we study the books of hadith and the narrations of history. And we get astonished that were these people even human beings, or were they a different creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So much love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam they had that we cannot even imagine that type of love in today's time. For example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a free slave by the name of Thu'ban. And it is narrated about him that he had immense love, كان شديد الحب له, that he had immense love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he had very little patience regarding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, he could not be patient to be far away from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be a little bit far away from him, and there was a gap that he did not see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the color of his face would change, and he would become pale. Literally, his color would change, and he would become pale, and he would fall sick. So one time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to visit him. And he said, Ya Thu'ban, that why is it that your color has changed? What is wrong with you? So he replied that, O Nabi of Allah, I am not sick. I do not have any type of sickness. But it is that your separation I cannot bear. The separation from you, I cannot bear that because of that, it makes me sick. That I always want to be in your presence. And then he said, O Nabi of Allah, I cannot bear this separation in this world. But on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the believers go to Jannah, you will be in the highest level of Jannah, you will be with the prophets. And obviously I will not be with you, because I do not have the same actions, I'm not worthy to be with you. How am I going to bear the separation in Jannah? I cannot bear the separation for a few moments in this world. How am I able to bear the separation in Jannah? And that thought just keeps on making me sick. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the verses that وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ عَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat, whosoever obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet, whoever obeys the Prophet, then verily they will be from with those people whom Allah has favored, from the Nabiyeen, was-siddiqeen, with the Prophets, with the truthful ones, with those that are martyred, and with the righteous people. And these are the best of the companions. And this ayat, when it came down, he became extremely happy that it is possible for me to be with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah and in Jannah. And the Mufassilun, they also mentioned a different incident than this. That there was another Sahabi by the name of Abdullah bin Zayd bin Abdirabbi. And this was the Sahabi that when Salat was commanded, they wanted to discuss that how should we call people towards the Salah. So many Sahaba give different views. Some said we'll use the bell. Some say that no, we'll use the trumpet. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not agree with this because this was the way of the disbelievers. So they went home, and this Sahabi, in his dream, the angel came and taught him the words of the Adhan. And then the next day he came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and explained the entire dream. And that became the Adhan for the Muslim. That became the caller. So he also says that one time he went to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he brought the same cause of, you could say, sorrow in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That, O Nabi of Allah, I keep on thinking that what will be our state on the day of Qiyamah when you will be with the Prophets in the highest level, Jannah, and we will not be able to see you. And that thought is bothering me. The thought is making me to get sick. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayat for him. And he was such a sahabi, he had such love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that upon the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, O Allah, take my sight away so I see no other being after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the love that the sahaba had. That they said, after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is there to look at? What is there to look at? There's no reason for my sight anymore. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his sight away. These were the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These were the people that had true ishq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That just to be separated for a few moments, their health will change. They'll get sick. And they would say, when can I see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again? There's another sahabi by the name of Abu Mahdura. And there's a very famous incident regarding him. That one time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on a journey. And it was time for salah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded the Mu'adhin to give adhan. And there were these children that were non-Muslims at the time. And from amongst them was Abu Mahdura. So when the Mu'adhin called the adhan, and how children are, they like to imitate. So the Mu'adhin is calling the adhan, and Abu Mahdura is now copying him and imitating him. So he's also calling the adhan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this and he called the boys. So all the boys ran away, but only Abu Mahdura remained. So he called Abu Mahdura and he asked him, that what were you saying? What were the words you were saying? So he got scared. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to repeat the words. So he started saying the adhan. He started repeating what he was saying. But when he came to the shahadatain, when he said, Ashhadu la ilaha illallah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made him repeat it. And when he said, Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made him repeat it. And the reason why he made him repeat it, so it could penetrate to his heart. And that's exactly what happened. That those words penetrated heart and he accepted Islam right then and there. And that's why in the Maliki Madhab, when they give adhan, they repeat this twice. One loudly and one softly, based on this riwayah. Based on this narration, that Abu Mahdura, he always gave adhan, and he used to say the shahadatain twice. The first he used to say it softly, and then he used to say it loudly. And the adhan we give, that we do not say it, we do not repeat it. But Abu Mahdura says that when I was a boy, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called me, and taught me these things, he put his hand on my head and touched my hair, and he taught me these words. So another narrator of hadith, Safiya bint Bahra, she says that Anna Abu Mahdura kanat lahu qussatun fi muqaddami rasihi, that Abu Mahdura had a lock of hair in front of his head, and when he used to sit down, he used to open it and he used to reach the ground. In other words, the hair was extremely long. So they told him that, why aren't you cutting this hair? Why are you letting it grow? Aren't you going to cut it? He said that, no, this is the same hair that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hand on. He put his hand on his hair, I will not cut this hair until I die. How is it possible that his Mubarak's blessed hand touched those same strands of hair and I cut it off? This I cannot do. So until I die, I am not going to cut this hair. And that's exactly what happened. He did not touch his hair because of the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that for the few moments Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam touched his Mubarak hand on those hairs, so he said, I'll never remove this hair. Respected brothers and elders, this is the love of the Sahaba that they had. One time, there was a battle, and 10 Sahaba were on top of a hill. And from those 10 Sahaba, 7 of them were martyred, and they got shaheed. But there are 3 Sahaba that remained alive. One was Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one was Zayd radiallahu anhu, and one was Abdullah bin Tariq. So the disbelievers, what they said, that you know what, your brothers are all sacrificed, they have been made shaheed. We don't want to fight, why don't you come down from this hill, we will not harm you. We will not harm you, just come down from this hill. So there were 3, there were few in number, so they proceeded down, trusting their words, that they are telling us that they are not going to harm us, so they came down. But as soon as they came down, the disbelievers, they took their bow and started to poke them, and started to hurt them. So Abdullah bin Tariq said that this is the first of your treachery. Right now, we just came down and you have been dishonest with us. I am not going to believe you any further. I am not going to go one more step with you guys. So he refused to go any further. He said, I'd rather meet my companions and get shahada than to proceed with you guys. So the disbelievers tried to move him, but he would not budge. So they also killed him at the spot. So the 2 sahabi that were left, one was Khubayb radiallahu anhu, and one was Zayd radiallahu anhu. And they both were captured and brought to Mecca. They both were brought to Mecca, and they were sold, because why? In the Battle of Uhud, they were responsible for killing many of the relatives of the disbelievers. So obviously the relatives wanted to take revenge. So they were sold in Mecca as slaves, and they were commanded to be tortured and to be killed. So first Zayd radiallahu anhu was commanded, and he was tortured, and he was... When the time of death came, when the time to kill him came, the kuffar of Makkah, they started to taunt him. It said that, oh, don't you wish right now that Muhammad was in your place? In other words, that you're just about to face death. How, you know, all this you did for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't you wish for one second that you were free? You were with your family, enjoying life. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in your place. He said, wallahi, I would not like it that I be with my family and a thorn pricked the foot of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even that much I would not like. Forget being in my place, just a thorn pricking Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am not ready to bear that. And at that moment, Abu Sufyan, who later accepted Islam, he said that there is no example of the love that the companions have for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the entire world. That the love they had, that even at the time of death, they would still have Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be safe, and not even a thorn prick his foot. So he was killed as well. Then Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was kept as a captive for many days. And it was the miraculous that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent food for him from the unseen. That he was eating fruits that were not even in the time of season. But he was eating those fruits because it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then at the time of his death came, and the same question was asked to him. So first he said, let me pray 2 rakat salah. So he prayed 2 rakat salah, and then he started to cry. So they thought that, oh no, now he's scared. He said, no, I'm not crying because that I'm afraid of death. I'm crying that if I had 100 lives, I would give all those lives for the sake of Islam. And then they also asked him the same question, that do you wish, if you just tell us that I wish that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be in my place, we will let you go free. But he gave the same exact reply as well, that I do not wish that a thorn prick the foot of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I be free. So they also had killed him. So respected brothers and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he mentions clearly that aminu kama amana nas. Bring faith, have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how the Sahaba had. And from the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we realize that a condition for pure iman is the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the extent that you love him more than anything in the world. And Sahaba fulfilled that, because why? That's the example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave in the Quran, that you have to become like them. So we have to bring the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how the Sahaba had. But let us ponder and let us glance inside ourselves. That yes, we all love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no doubt about that. But what is the level that we have? And what is the level that the Sahaba had? The Sahaba could not bear a thorn pricking the foot of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would rather give their lives away. And they said, if you have more lives, we'll give those lives away as well. But we cannot see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even a thorn pricking him. But today, Right around us, we see people are engaged in war with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that is what Quran says. That a person who is involved in interest, he is engaging in war with Allah and His Prophet. But that does not shake our heart. That does not make the tears flow out of our eyes. That does not cause any type of discomfort to us. The Sahaba could not bear the thorn, but we have individuals that are engaged in war with Allah and His Prophet by being involved in riba, by being involved in interest. But that does not harm us in any way, and we're okay with it. We see that a person is in direct disobedience of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but that does not harm our hearts in any way. That does not shake us up, that does not turn the color of our face. So we have to see that we have to come to that level of the Sahaba. But how do we come to that level? The first and foremost thing is we have to first know about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How can we know, how can we have love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam if we have no idea about the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? How he was, what his characteristics was, how kind and merciful he was. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says that he was Rahmatul Lil Alameen. But what is the example of his Rahmah? For this we have to study the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have to, today we have studied the lives of each and every individual except Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this is a fact, that if you ask any of the youngsters here, if you ask them about Derrick Rose, and they all give you the yes, we know which college he went to, which school he went to, we know whether he's playing today or not, they know everything about him. Because why? They have the love for him. They have the love for him, they have so much regard to him that they want to follow him. They want to learn about him, they want to shoot like him, they want to wear the shoes like him. Because why? They have some consideration. For a person who has no guarantee whether he's going to die with Iman or not, whether he's going to come in the fold of Islam or not. If he stays in the same path he is right now, then he's going to die without Iman. And he's going to be in the hellfire. But the youth, they know everything about him. They know everything about the Bulls. They know everything about the sports figure of today's time. But ask him about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they cannot answer. If you ask them about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that name the wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they would not know. Name 10 companions of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they will not be able to do so. Respected brothers, this is a sad state for us. Yes, we are Muslims, but we have to improve. That the true love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will come once Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam becomes more beloved to us than our own selves. Than our own selves, than our own children. Now we keep track of our children, their homework, their grades, who they're hanging out with, because why? We have love for them. But do we study the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a similar manner? No, we have to study. That's why the ulama of the past, they said that on a daily basis, take out some time to study the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. On a daily basis. Not only in the month of Rabiul Awwal, not only in this Mubarak month, but every single day, take out a portion of your time. May it be 10 minutes, may it be 15 minutes. But study about the beautiful life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sit in the gatherings of the scholars and ask them to teach you about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, in the city of Chicago, there are plenty of ulama. MashaAllah, in Sharia Board itself, we have a huge group of scholars here. And they are there to benefit the community. They are here for the community. Take some time out and spend time with them. Spend time in the gatherings. Spend time in the lecture and try to learn more about our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because why? If you do not have the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you cannot be a believer. So we have to make effort that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given us a yardstick that we have to come to the level of the love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam like the Sahaba had. And if you find some type of shortcoming into our lives, then when are we going to fix it? Now is the time. Before our eyes close, we have to rectify ourselves and bring the ittiba, bring the following of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam 100% within our life. And this is not something that will come overnight. This is something you have to make a daily effort. Make dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that, oh Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, make the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the most beloved thing in my eyes. This is a thing also we have to make dua for. We make dua for everything in this world. Dua for wealth, prosperity, health, safeguarding our children, no jadu happens. You know, we make dua for all these things for our children. But when's the last time we make dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? Make Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the most beloved in my eyes. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, it has not come yet, but this is what I desire. So make Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the most beloved in my eyes, that I cannot stand to see the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being trampled upon. That it'll cause me harm, it'll cause me grief, I'll lose my sleep. I'll lose my sleep if I find out that the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is dying within the ummah. When a person has this, then really he will not be able to sleep at night. That person who has this concern, he will find extremely difficult that how is it possible that people are disobeying Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They do not like the face of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They do not like the dressing of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But yet they still call themselves Muslims. Yet they still call themselves, but they have total hatred for the ways and the manners of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That person will become restless. Respecting brothers and others, this is something that we have to do. This is not something that's optional. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that complete iman, complete pure iman, lies in the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And love, my respected brothers and others, is not lip service like we do. Lip service is not called love. That's just making da'wah of love, right? That's just proclaiming and going around saying that I love. And this is the example I gave last year as well, but I'll give the same example this year as well. That you have a father who has two sons. You have a father who has two sons. And the father is sick on bed. And he is very sick and he's dying. And he tells one of his sons that, please, can you give me a glass of water and can you get my medicine? And the son is standing there and says, oh, father, I love you. The father said, please, can you give me a glass of water and my medicine? He said, oh, father, I love you so much. I love you from the deep and bottom of my heart. I'm ready to sacrifice my life for you. And the father is saying that, just give me a glass of water and medicine. And then you have another son that the father says, can you give me a glass of water? And he goes right away and does it. He does not say all these things that I love you and I'm from the bottom of my heart, I'm ready to sacrifice my life for you and my jaan qurban and everything. But he goes and does it. Who do you think the father thinks loves him? The first child or the second child? The second child. Why? Because he's actually doing what the father is saying. So that is our condition as well. You and I, we all are involved in this. That we claim the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us to do. We are not doing. But we're still going around saying that we are ready to sacrifice everything for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you want to sacrifice everything, start with what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told you to do. Start with your basic commandments of Islam, your five times salah. Start with these things, because that's what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's concern was. Before he passed away, his concern was what? As-salat. As-salat. And what your subordinates are. Those that are underneath your hand. In words, your family, your slaves, or your workers. These are the things that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that was his concern before he passed away. About salah, and those that are underneath you that take care of him and do not abuse them. So this is the fikr that we should have. This is the concern that we should have. That true love, how do we bring into life? First, we have to study about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, study the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And alhamdulillah, the ulama have written books in all languages, in Urdu, in English, in Arabic, in Farsi, in any language you want, there has been a book about the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So whatever language you speak, pick up a book that's written by an authentic scholar. Do not just pick up any book. And how Ibn Mustasab mentioned that you should take your knowledge, you should be very careful who you take your knowledge from. Be very careful, so do not just pick up any book that's on the market. Oh, there's a nice cover. You know, they say don't judge a book by its cover. That's extremely true. They don't say it's very colorful and mashallah is printed very nicely. See who the author is. If you do not know, come to the ulama and ask them that which book should I read. Come to the ulama, they will guide you. That purchase so and so book. Okay, that's too advanced for you. Step a little bit down and purchase that book and study that. And if you have any questions, come back to the ulama and ask them that I do not understand this. But do not do self-studying. Do not go out in the ocean because you'll get lost. So depend and have trust on the ulama. Come and take the mashura that which book, which seerah book should I study? You have Seerat al-Mustafa, for example. In English also you have many great books. They're written by authentic scholars, and they've been translated from Urdu to English, from Arabic to English as well. Read about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, make that your mission in life. Make that your mission in life, that I want to know everything regarding Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Every single aspect regarding Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and I want to bring that into my life. If you do that, you'll see a great change in your life. We always complain about there's no barakah, there's no peace, there's no sukoon, we're always in trouble. Why is that? Because we have looked for solutions for peace and everything else besides the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We found peace because we think peace is in wealth. So we look at those people that have wealth. But if you go and ask them, do they have peace? They have a hard time sleeping at night and they have to take medicine to go to sleep. They have no peace. So peace is not in wealth. We think peace is in a position. Ask those that have a position. They also cannot sleep at night time. Peace is only in the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wallahi is only in the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So let us make an effort to bring the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam within our life. First of all, by studying by it, Secondly, they're having a concern that how can the sunnah come into my life and how can the sunnah spread throughout the ummah. Have this concern as well that not only me, but my family, my relatives, the entire Chicago. How can everyone have the love of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the entire sunnah could be alive in the community? That's why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given great reward for those that bring alive the sunnahs that have been dead in the community. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whosoever brings back alive one of my sunnahs which people have left, and he brings it back into the community, he will get the reward of 100 shaheed. Now that's not something small, 100 shaheed. One shaheed's lover says that before his blood drops, all his sins are forgiven. And he is one of the lofty people in the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that 100 shaheed's reward that person will get. So on this I would like to end my talk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to have the true love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May He give us the ability to spend time with those individuals that have the true love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may He give us the ability to make the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the mission of our life. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.